Hello, it's Friday, 15th of October. I'm Gary Bowerman. On today's mini update show, I'll be looking back on seven dramatic days that breathed life back into travel in Southeast Asia after 19 long months of shutdown. So, let's get started. This is the Southeast Asia Travel Show. Hello, wherever you are in the world, and thanks for listening in. So today I'll recount the dramatic events of these past 7 days as some governments in Southeast Asia finally made decisive moves to restart travel. The entire process was kick-started by Singapore last Friday, 1 week ago, and its further announcements over the weekend have triggered other countries in the region to start playing catch-up. Before we begin, I think it's important to point out that Southeast Asia is only at the very beginning of a travel recovery. For now, it is partial, it is phased, and it only includes certain countries in the region. But on a brighter note, developments will likely move very fast from here, especially as other regional destinations, including India, Fiji, and now today New South Wales in Australia, are preparing to welcome back travelers. Competition to attract travelers in Southeast Asia will become very fierce in the lead up to the Christmas and New Year travel period, and especially Lunar New Year. And it's already pretty clear that every country in the region is out for itself. There doesn't seem to be any ASEAN-wide travel agreement pending, or if there is, it is exceptionally well camouflaged at this point. So let's begin in Singapore, where the government is living up to its promise of reopening its borders gradually after reaching its 80% vaccination threshold. Let's wind back 1 week to Friday, the 8th of October, and Singapore announced that it would commence a vaccinated travel lane offering quarantine-free two-way travel, inbound and outbound, for vaccinated travelers with South Korea. Now, this was a highly significant move, being the first meaningful travel agreement between leading travel and air aviation hub markets in Northeast Asia and Southeast Asia. It was Singapore's third VTL, vaccinated travel lane, to be announced. Similar schemes are up and running with Germany and Brunei and have been in operation since the 8th of September. South Korea is an interesting outbound market, as unlike most countries in the region, vaccinated South Koreans have been traveling pretty freely throughout the summer, mostly to Europe. But although this was in itself quite a breakthrough announcement, rumors abounded last Friday night that more VTL announcements were imminent. And so it proved. On Saturday, last Saturday, the 9th of October, Singapore kind of broke the internet by announcing that it would have 8 new vaccinated travel lanes, this time with the United States and Canada in North America, and 6 European nations, Denmark, France, Italy, the Netherlands, Spain, and the UK. Now, these would start on the 19th of October, whereas the South Korean VTL, which was announced the previous day, won't start until mid-November. Now, the problem here is that these are very partial, they are very gradual, and they're going to be slow scale-up operations. A cap of 3,000 arrivals per day has been put in place for Singapore. That's in place until further notice. But the number of COVID-19 PCR tests has been reduced from 4 to 2. So visitors will need to take one 48 hours before their departure to Singapore, and they'll have to take one on arrival. They'll also have to self-isolate until they get the all clear that the test that's taken at Changi is clear and negative. Travelers must also have been in the country that they're departing from for 14 days before traveling to Singapore. Now, interestingly, these new vaccinated travel lanes, that brings the total to 11. And the Minister for Transport, Singapore's Minister for Transport, S. Iswaran, said, collectively, these countries account for about 10% of our pre-COVID annual passenger arrivals at Changi Airport, but they rank among our top 20 trading partners. They have significant investments, a strong business presence, and sizable communities in Singapore. It is therefore important that we reconnect with them early. So, as I mentioned there are 11 vaccinated travel lanes already up and running. It looks like there may be more. I would think you're looking at possibly Japan, maybe the UAE, perhaps New Zealand. What about Australia? Australia at the moment is looking like it's going to be on a state-by-state base, so perhaps New South Wales. But I think there will be industry pressure, particularly from the airline industry and from the travel industry, to remove this 3,000 arrivals per day cap, or at least expand it in the lead up to Christmas and then also for Lunar New Year. There's also the possibility that the VTL system is only an interim phase, and perhaps early into next year, maybe first quarter, second quarter, it might actually even be abolished. This is just a way to start bringing back travel and to manage processes through Changi Airport. So that was last Friday and last Saturday. The movement then turned to Malaysia on Sunday, the 10th of October. Malaysia really came good on its promise that it would reopen domestic travel after a nine-month ban once it had reached 90% vaccination threshold for its adult population. That equates to roughly about 66% of the entire all-age population. By last Saturday night, Malaysia had reached 89.7% vaccinated for its adult population. And on Sunday afternoon, Prime Minister Ismail Sabri announced live on national TV that as from the following day, Monday the 11th of October, vaccinated Malaysian residents would be free to travel across Peninsular Malaysia. This was a big breakthrough for the country. As I said, we've had virtually no domestic travel for the whole of this year. In addition, and this was the surprise element, vaccinated residents would also be permitted to travel overseas from the same day, from Monday the 11th, provided they complete a 14-day home quarantine upon return. So this is a big breakthrough because no longer will Malaysian residents need to apply for a My Travel Pass, which is basically a state-mandated special exemption to fly overseas. And that really was a block on travel. Travel was officially discouraged up until last weekend. Later in this week, Malaysia has announced that it will remove the antigen test requirement for the trial of domestic travel bubble to Langkawi, which opened up last month. And the state of Sabah in East Malaysia has said that it would start permitting inbound and outbound travel for vaccinated residents with Peninsular Malaysia as from the 1st of November. So we're starting to see movement in Malaysia. This is great. For now, inbound travel to Malaysia is not yet permitted. But we are expecting there will be some announcement on that at some time soon. Maybe it won't be immediate, but it'll be certainly sometime soon. Okay, so that updates what happened last weekend in Singapore and Malaysia. We'll just take a quick musical interlude, and then we'll come back and we'll be talking about where else, Thailand. Thailand has decided to sideline its sandbox, so what happens next? Right, so on Monday, the 11th of October, just 4 days ago, Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha made everything all about Thailand and also a little bit all about himself as well. Thailand will end coronavirus quarantine requirements for vaccinated visitors from 10 low-risk countries. This is what he said live on TV from November the 1st. He only actually named five of those countries. They were the UK, Singapore, Germany, China, and the United States. But he did say more countries will be added. At this point, this was him talking. He was actually saying that he will push for the opening of the country to fully vaccinated foreign tourists from November the 1st, and that he would instruct the Center for COVID-19 Situation Administration, or the CCSA, and the Ministry of Public Health in those coming days to urgently consider that they would allow this to happen. This was, again, a little bit of a case of Thailand making announcements before the actual infrastructure and the frameworks were in place. He mentioned 10 potential low-risk countries, but he only named five. But he did say that in addition to reopening on November the 1st, there would be additional reopenings from December the 1st, and that national restrictions would also be reduced, particularly in terms of selling alcoholic beverages in restaurants. He alluded to the fact that Thailand has lost $50 billion in revenue over the last year. And he also announced that it really was an update of a pledge that he made before the Phuket sandbox began on the 1st of July, that he wanted to reopen Thailand fully within 120 days. And that would have taken effect at the end of October. This really is a tacit admission that the Phuket sandbox strategy simply wasn't working. It was too complex. It was too restrictive. And the rollout beyond the islands to the mainland was just very, very confusing. The certificate of entry in particular remains hugely unpopular. And as a result, between July the 1st and 13th of October, the Phuket sandbox has actually attracted less than 50,000 visitors. And the original target was about 129,000. So it wasn't working. And the Prime Minister has really decided to up the ante and move things forward. This was him last Monday trying to push things forward. He had to chair a meeting of the CCSA, which happened yesterday. I'll come to that in a moment. Also on Monday, Vietnamese media started reporting that Vietnam is developing a roadmap to fully open up to international visitors. It added that from November 2021, Phu Quoc will welcome foreign visitors, and that will be followed in a phased reopening in the locations of Nha Trang, Ha Long, Hoi An, and Da Lat. Those were likely to start in December. Again, there's no absolute verification on this. There is no framework in place, but this was stated on Monday, and there's been more speculation during the following week. So at the moment, we've got up to this point, on Monday, we have got Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand, and Vietnam pushing hard to restore some form of travel. There's been a lot of speculation throughout the week since, and then we got a little bit more meat on the bones yesterday, Thursday, the 14th of October. Now, let's turn on that date, because that is the supposed reopening date for Bali. Vaccinated international travelers were supposed to be able to return to the island of Bali in Indonesia from yesterday. Now, the official list was published only on Wednesday of 19 countries that would be able to enter Bali. Now, these countries are China, India, Japan, South Korea, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, New Zealand, Kuwait, Bahrain, Qatar, Liechtenstein, Italy, France, Portugal, Spain, Sweden, Poland, Hungary, and Norway. But the situation remains immensely confusing. Bali officials have said that no international flight slots have been filled, and there are reports that 100% landing fee discounts are to be offered up till the end of the year to try and attract airlines from around the world to fly into Bali. That will likely be extended to a 50% discount on slots from January the 1st next year until right through until June next year. Well, Indonesia has also cut the quarantine rate seemingly arbitrarily from 8 days to 5. And the Bali deputy governor said we would actually like it reduced further, but this is a trial mechanism. In short, it's a very, very confused situation. The Jakarta Post lead headline today was that Bali reopens to an eerie hush. Now, where this goes from here, I'm not too sure, but I'm not going to go into any more detail talking about Bali right now, and I'll tell you why at the end of this show, so please stay tuned. Switching back to Thailand, yesterday, Thursday, 14th of October. Again, the Prime Minister spoke after he chaired the CCSA meeting, and he said Thailand is ready for reopening. It will go ahead as planned on November the 1st, and more restrictions will be relaxed on December the 1st. Now, the spokesman for the CCSA said that it had been decided on Thursday to allow fully vaccinated people from the UK, the US, Germany, Singapore, and China to visit the kingdom if they could pass a PCR test upon arrival from November the 1st. Now, the number of destinations due to open is still subject to some confusion, but it does seem as though currently there are four provinces open in Thailand. That's through the Phuket sandbox. And there will be 15 provinces likely to open on November the 1st. Decided as provinces of economic significance. And they include Bangkok and Krabi. 16 more provinces are slated to open from December the 1st. But again, this is a very, very moving feast. Things could very likely change in the coming days and weeks. The Prime Minister said that the government and the CCSA and the Ministry of Public Health will spend the remaining time in October and November considering the reopening of the country and easing curbs on businesses and activities based on recommendations from the Public Health Ministry. Now, it's worth remembering here, I think, that both Singapore and Malaysia, they reactivated travel after hitting vaccination thresholds that had actually trailed. They'd promised that they would actually make these moves once they hit these vaccination thresholds. Thailand isn't doing that. Thailand's vaccination rate is much, much lower. It hasn't reached its targets, but the Prime Minister has decided to reopen anyway. And I think that is quite a significant step, and I think it's quite a big risk, but we'll have to see how it happens. So how is this rolling out across the region? Well, as we've mentioned so far, Singapore, Malaysia, Vietnam, and Thailand seem to be at the forefront. Today, in Cambodia, the Khmer Times lead story was opening move, ministries mull quarantine-free entry for international tourists. The article started by saying that an interministerial committee is studying ways to reopen the kingdom without quarantine for fully vaccinated visitors from low-risk countries. Now, we know that that's been in place. We know that Cambodia has been discussing at high levels how to reopen. Initially, that was by the end of the year, but it looks as though that may be being brought forward. And the reason for that is in the kicker quote, which came in the second paragraph, which says, and I quote, "This comes on the heels of a recent announcement by Thailand that is opening up the country to fully vaccinated international travelers from low-risk countries on November the 1st without the need for quarantine." So I think it's quite clear that we're starting to see resonating across the region the impact of what was kickstarted by Singapore and has been taken up by Malaysia, Vietnam, and Thailand in various different ways. And, you know, across Asia Pacific right now, we are starting to see real movement on travel. India, Fiji, New South Wales in Australia, it's looking, there are signals that perhaps from South Korea and even Japan, even China, and there was some rumblings in the past few days that they may be prepared to reopen their borders early next year, maybe March, when they reach 85% vaccination of their population. Let's wait and see on that one. That one is quite difficult to predict, but certainly South Korea and Japan, I think, will be in the mix. And this is all really based around this idea of endemicity, that countries have got to start looking at ways to live with and deal with the fact that COVID-19 is not going away. As vaccination thresholds are starting to be hit or getting near to being hit, there are more preparations for opening travel. But also there's this key FOMO, FOMO, the fear of missing out. You can see that ASEAN governments that haven't made their moves yet are starting to putting frameworks in place, because otherwise they risk losing out, particularly with what is expected to be a travel surge for the Christmas and New Year period, and certainly the high-profile Lunar New Year period as well. So there's no likelihood at the moment, it seems, of an ASEAN agreement. There's still a lot of wild speculation and reporting that sometimes vague ministerial statements are actual based in fact. And this will be a very, very moving feast. What I'm saying to you now is very much a snapshot, and we can expect more announcements, more speculation in the coming days, and more reopening announcements, more quarantine changes. This is certainly the start of change and the rebooting of travel. So that's a wrap for today, but I've got some exciting news about some upcoming shows. Firstly, on Monday, look out for the first of a new series of country-focused podcasts called Destination 2022. Each show will assess the travel outlook in a specific country that is likely to be popular with Southeast Asian travelers next year. We're going to start in South Korea, where I'll be joined on Monday by Dr. Jaeon Choi in Seoul. Then on Tuesday, don't miss this one either, I'll be joined by Melina Caruso and Simona Chimenti of the Bali Hotels Association to discuss the reopening outlook in Bali and the current situation and whether there's going to be more clarity in the coming days and weeks. So those are two new shows to look out for. I hope to see you then.